D-Mason, Ginnadonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here with you. Most of us are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick is up in Ohio, where Mahoney's Denison Big Red have a series this weekend. Willie, why don't you fill us in on what's going on up there?
Well, we got a big doubleheader up here. Granville, Ohio. It's going to be rocking for the Big Red, number 5 in Division 3 in the national rankings. And they're going up against the College of Worcester.
Not a real place.
College of Worcester?
No, Worcester with a W. Worcester. Rhymes with rooster. Worcester.
Yes. Where the heck is Worcester?
Worcester is also in Ohio.
Okay.
So they're all part of the North Coast Athletic Conference. Now, I'm not sure who named the conference, guys. Most of the schools are in Ohio. There's a couple in Indiana. I think there's one in Pennsylvania. But where is the North Coast in all of that?
I have no idea.
I don't think they're on a coast of any kind, are they?
No.
Is there a coast in Indiana that I'm not aware of?
No. The River Coast?
The Lake Coast.
The coast of a lake?
Yes, I don't know.
I don't know who named the conference. It sounds fancy, though. But this is for first place. In the North Coast,
the coast of Lake Erie, maybe?
Yeah, possibly. I don't think it goes that far north. There's another conference that has more of the northern Ohio schools. This is more of the southern or middle part of the state that a lot of the schools are in. But it's a good league. Denison's doing really well. They're 23-5. And so I'm looking forward to seeing the boys today.
Hey, you know what? If California can be in the Atlantic Coast Conference, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. That's your answer.
And speaking of Cal Berkeley, there is someone who is a famous alum of Cal Berkeley that we're going to get to a little bit later on, because I have some things to say about this particular Cal Berkeley alum. But let's focus on the Tennessee Titans first. They're doing their 30 visits, or they have done their 30 visits. The NFL draft, of course, starts a week from yesterday. And I've noticed the people who are tracking these visits have noticed themselves that the Titans are inviting some highly regarded defensive tackles to come visit. They have had 5 defensive linemen visit Tennessee. Cam Jackson out of Florida, TJ Sanders out of South Carolina, Omar Norman Lott out of Tennessee, Darius Alexander out of Toledo, and Broughton, tomato, tomato, out of Texas. And Sam Phelan of A to Z Sports, also of Survivor, had a story on A to Z Sports with the headline, "It should no longer be a surprise if the Titans choose to play their Jeffrey Simmons trade card over NFL draft weekend." And Sam Phelan mentioned the players that I just mentioned. He writes this, quote, "The Titans drafting a defensive tackle this year would be a major surprise. 2 weeks ago, I would have told you it was impossible. But today, it's clearly more possible than some people realize. So is trading Jeffrey Simmons before or during the draft. I said what I said. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for the Tennessee Titans to trade Jeffrey Simmons in the next week or so." Sam Phelan continues, "At the beginning of the offseason, Tennessee was not considering moving Simmons at all. The coaching staff views Simmons as an essential piece of their defense that will only get better if supported with the proper help up front. Even a few weeks ago, I would have told you that a Jeffrey Simmons trade was not possible, not on anybody's radar. But reading between the lines of the Titans' pre-draft process, perhaps things have changed for them internally." So I took it upon myself to look at the 5 defensive linemen that the Titans have invited for a 30 visit, and I wanted to see where they were mocked in all of these mock drafts. So Dane Brugler of The Athletic, author of The Beast, did a 7-round mock draft not too long ago. Cam Jackson out of Florida, he has going in the 4th round, pick 103, to the Tennessee Titans. TJ Sanders out of South Carolina, a 2nd round pick, number 57. Omar Norman Lott out of Tennessee, a 3rd round pick, number 100. Darius Alexander out of Toledo, a 2nd round pick, number 54, and Vernon Broughton out of Texas, a 4th round pick, number 116. So some highly regarded defensive linemen, defensive tackles coming to visit Do you buy this idea, Derek Mason, that this could perhaps be a tell about the future of Jeffrey Simmons?
Listen, Jeff has what, two or three years left on his contract. This one plus two more. He has a cap hit at 22, 25 next year and 28 the year after that. They can get out of it after the 26th year. So can they be looking to, you know, upgrade the position? Yeah, they can. You know, I don't think we should look like – I don't think we should look too much into it because good teams draft ahead. What I mean by draft ahead is, yeah, Jeffrey may – he may be on the roster and he may play this year, but they're looking ahead 2 years from now when, you know, they can get it out or if his play started to decline. Why do you think, you know, drafting T'Vondre Sweat was so key last year? One, they got rid of DeNico Autry, but they needed to have another young guy in the middle.
And to your point about that, I feel like whenever Jeffrey Simmons has been asked, who do you want the Titans to take number one? He mentions the same player every time, Abdul Carter. He mentions Carter a lot as someone he would like the Titans to draft number one overall because he's probably like, get me some help.
Well, and he's right. It's because the defensive line is like no other position because they rotate so much. Defensive linemen, I mean, you can get into a 6-7-man rotation with the defensive line just depending on how deep your line is. And I think that's where the Titans want to be. They want to be in a position where, you know, just like Baltimore, same defensive coordinator. In Baltimore, they would rotate those defensive linemen constantly just to keep them fresh, make sure they were fresh when they needed them at the most critical times in games. And I see them doing it here again, not necessarily to replace Jeffrey Simmons. Eventually, they're going to have to. But I think is we need to stockpile our youth and then develop them and allow them to be within this rotation. Because if we're going to consistently be a team that's perennially in the playoffs, this is what you have to do. You can't wait to the year before or the year of and say, oh, man, I got to draft a defensive tackle. One, because we have no depth. But then two, the guy that had been playing that position for so long, now he's getting older or he's dealing with an injury. No, you want to get guys so they can all stagger one another. But they can be a part of the rotation to keep your defensive line, you know, strong come the end of the game. So by them bringing in those guys, I don't think I look at it as, well, they may trade Jeffrey Simmons. I look at it as, no, they are trying to get depth. They know what they want on defense, and they know they're going to have to rotate these guys. And if they don't have depth at that position, they're not going to be able to play the defense they want to.
Willie, your thoughts on the theory posited by, Sam Phelan of A to Z Sports.
I'm going to use the term plausible, and I think it's logical. I'm going to ask the question. And I'm a big Jeffrey Simmons fan, but where they are right now is a rebuild. And ask the question, is Jeffrey Simmons going to be part of the next really good Titans team? He's going to be 28 soon. He's still got some trade value, I think, because he's 28. If he were 30 and still in this contract, I think it would be very, very tough to trade him and really get anything. But right now, he might have still some trade value as good as he is. And let's be honest, I'm a huge fan of his, but his first year or two under that contract have not yielded a lot of return on investment. The team's not going anywhere anytime soon. So is this the guy that could get them? What is the, I forget what they said they would like to get in a perfect world. I can't remember if it was Brinker or Borgonzi. We'd love to have X amount of top 100 picks over the next 3 years. Jeffrey Simmons might be the kind of guy you could get some of those picks in a deal. I would definitely, if I'm the Titans, I would explore that. What is the market for Jeffrey Simmons?
That was going to be my devil's advocacy to Derek, is if the Titans are not going to move off of the number one pick, which is how they would get the war chest of draft assets, as I'm looking for that quote that Willie mentioned about the top 100 picks and such. I will find it later. But if they're not going to move off of the number one overall pick, they're not going to trade the second round pick, perhaps, because they don't have a third round pick. I guess they could if they wanted that third round pick back.
Well, but, you would trade down, yes. Right? You would trade down to get extra picks.
Correct. But Jeffrey Simmons may be one of the few assets you have on your roster who can help you accomplish that without trading the number one overall pick.
Okay. Believe me, I understand where y'all are going. I understand this. But you're not in a position to try to give away good young players. He's still a young player. He's still
but
a
But the word
good,
give, you're using the word give. It's not a give.
Good value. Somebody's going to give you, what, a third-round pick for him? I don't think
no one's going to give you a second-round pick.
It may be a fourth.
Then you don't do it.
It may be a third or fourth.
I think you could get a lot
more. I'm not sure a team's going – unless you package it with something else, I'm not sure a team's going to give you a first or a second-round pick. I'm just
Why not?
I just don't think teams are going to be
He's
willing –
He's one of the best players
unless,
in the game.
Unless it's a team that feels as if we are one guy on defense away from, you know, making that push, not just into the playoffs, but further into the playoffs. Then I could see a team like that. But if it's another team that needs their picks, I don't think you're going to get a second or first round. You may get a third round for him. You may get a fourth round for him. But again, he's a good player. You don't have many of those guys on your team that are veteran guys, guys that are proven. Yes, the last two seasons he's been dealing with some type of injury, you know, that has not totally put him out, but has hampered him. But yet and still, he's a damn good player for your organization. And to me, just give him away in hopes that you get a third rounder, but then hope that that guy work out in the next 2 to 3 years. Where I already got a proven guy, you know, in Simmons that is 28 years old. He has at least another 3 years, maybe four, where he's playing really good football. So I'm not just going to give that away. I'm just not. I think you keep good players.
I would never give him away. I understand what you're saying, D-Mace, mm-hmm. and he's valuable. But that's why you're going to – maybe I'm totally off base here. But
you don't have much on defense
the cap
already.
Is going up. Well, I know, but they don't have much anywhere. So they need picks. And they to build the roster for the future, they don't have a lot of picks. So there's no way for them to get good unless they do something big. And now that they are very likely not to trade out of the number one spot, which could get you a lot of those picks, you have to look at things like this.
But you don't panic.
Look, I'm not giving Jeffrey Simmons away for a third-round pick. There's no way I'm doing that. I'd rather have him playing for me. But he's in an area right now of his career that he could still be tradable. If you wait another year or two, mm-hmm. you're not going to get anything more than a third or fourth round pick. I think you could get something big, perhaps, to a team that sees that the cap is going up. And like you said, it's a team that feels like with Jeffrey Simmons, they can win big. And so maybe they're looking to move future assets. I would look for a first round pick. I would look for maybe it's a package of a first and a fourth, or a second and two thirds. I think you might be able to get something like that. Maybe I'm completely off base here.
By the way, Chad Brinker said he wants 30 picks over the next 3 years, 12 of them in the top 100.
There's only one way you do that. You'd have to trade some people to get that. Those picks don't just you just go shop around and grab those for free. You have to give up something to get those picks.
Now, Willie, you said previously with Harold Landry, you don't understand why the Titans got rid of Harold Landry because that's another hole they're going to have to fill. Well, the same thing would happen, yes, if they traded Jeffrey Simmons. They don't have a ready-made replacement for Jeffrey Simmons.
Right, but they tried to trade Harold Landry, and for whatever reason, they couldn't get anything for him. So to me, if you can't get anything, then just keep him. Is my thought. I'm only trading Jeffrey Simmons if I get a big significant part of the way to what you just said. The 12 picks in the first 100, 30 picks over the next. That's That's what I have to look
but
at.
But you're open to it. You are open to the idea of trading
Jeffrey
Simmons.
I'm very open to it. I'm not saying go do it, and no matter what. I'm saying if you get an opportunity to get a package of picks, then I'm very much looking at that.
I'm not actively shopping Jeffrey Simmons. I'm not. I'm just not doing that. If I'm a GM, I am not out there, even during the draft. Now, if somebody calls me and suggest or ask about Jeffrey Simmons, then okay, we can have that conversation. But I am in no way going out and soliciting phone calls for Jeffrey Simmons. I'm just not doing that as a GM because, again, it's twofold. One, if you don't get the pick you want, now it's gotten out that you've dangled him out. Now you got a player that feels like he's not wanted. That's one. If it doesn't go through, two. Denard Wilson should be standing up in his chair saying, you better not get rid of Jeffrey Simmons, if indeed yes. That's the case. Because he has no other – he doesn't have any impact players on that defense. He doesn't. Snead, we don't – his health and then his legal situation, we don't know how that's going to, you know, turn out in the end. I mean, you just don't have enough good impact players. You have Devondre Sweat, but he's going into his second year, and I believe he will be a much better player. But he can't be the lone guy. He can't. I like Brownlee Jr. I think he's going to be a hell of a player. But he's not Jeffrey Simmons. He doesn't make teams game plan for him. So to me, you got a proven commodity. And you don't have many of these guys. I can see if you had, you know, two or three other impact players. If it was a situation where it was a Kevin Byard and a Harold Landry and a Denico Autry still there and maybe somebody else, then okay. We got enough guys that could probably, you know, overcome the loss of a Jeffrey Simmons. But right now, you have Devondre Sweat. That's it. Like a proven guy. Again, love on Brownlee Jr. I think he did a really good job. But you're talking about a proven guy in this league. Jeffrey Simmons, the only guy. I can't count on Snead because I don't know if he's going to be healthy.
Sam Fallon writes that
it's not about this year. It's not about this year. It's about 2 or 3 years from now where you hope to have your quarterback. You hope to have a good offensive line, and I'm looking for the future guys that are going to impact the defense, not the current guys. And that's where if I could get a first rounder and another package somewhere in there, and maybe I'm wrong, but to me, he's still at a level where you could maybe get somebody to jump in and give you a lot for him. If you can't, then I agree with you, D-Mace. You don't move him. You're not doing it. Unless it's really worth your while. You've got to win that trade.
Sam Fallon at A to Z Sports writes, quote, Simmons turns 28 this summer. He is in the prime of his career. He is under contract for 3 more seasons with an organization that just finished 3-14, and he's at the front end of what is going to be a multi-year rebuild. I won't pretend to know how happy Simmons is with his current situation, but he has already made it abundantly clear through his consistent advocacy for Abdul Carter at number one that he would like a little bit more support on the defensive side of the ball. It may not be coming. If Simmons were unhappy, nobody could blame him. Players have certainly wanted out for far less. From a Titans perspective, getting cheaper and younger has been the name of the game all offseason. Mike Borgonzi also remains committed to collecting as many draft picks as possible to start out his tenure as GM. We know the front office is motivated to add more draft picks and hopes to gain an extra top 100 pick in this year's draft. Trading Simmons is one surefire way to bolster your draft resources. You could probably land a second-round pick for him. That according to Sam Fallon.
Again, listen, if the Titans choose to make this move, then go ahead. But I am not, as a GM, I am not picking up the phone and making phone calls saying my best defensive tackle, one of the best guys on my team, is on the market. I'm not calling teams. Now, if teams want to call me, all right, what do you want to offer? If it's not a second-round pick, then what are we talking? Why are we talking? So I need to get a second-round pick or better, or multiple picks. That's the only way I am even thinking about it. But outside of that, this team is so depleted of top-notch talent that it's a shame. It really is. They need to get back to that point where they had damn near elite guys at multiple positions across the board, and they don't have that right now. They've had that at one point. Or damn near elite players at one point at multiple positions, but right now they just don't have it. And to give away a guy that's as close to elite as you have on your team to a position, I just think that wouldn't be the best move for me.
Quickly, two texts. From Philip, this is like the A.J. Brown theory. Don't trade a cornerstone of your defense for possible impact players. This can set your defense back even further. One texter asks, what type of stats does Jeffrey Simmons need to have to justify his contract, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, the A.J. Brown is not the same comparison because at the time you were a winning team. You were a team that was in position to win, had a roster built to win. They don't have anything close to that right now. So it is a different mindset than it was before. The second question is a good one, D-Miss. I'll let you take that one.
Let me, before Derek answers it, let me just tell you what his stats were last season. He started 16 games. Mm-hmm. He had 5 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, and 9 quarterback hits, according to Pro Football Reference.
Again, because sacks to me, you know, sacks is not the end-all be-all. It's great to have. You know, but it's not the end all be all. I think his production in that department, it does need to go up considering the player he has been. He's been a guy that has gotten 9 sacks. I don't think he has gotten double digit sacks in his career just yet. I think the highest has been 8 or 9, somewhere around there, if I'm correct. But he needs to be a guy. What is it, Adam? You got it?
He had 8.5 sacks in 2021. Okay. That's his career high.
So he needs to, when you talk about sacks, that's where he needs to be. The pressures need to be up a little bit. But not only is it those areas, he needs to become a better leader. That's what he needs. That's what, you know, that'll help sort of, you know, look at the contract and say, well, it's justified. Not just because the numbers, but because of the things that he brings off the field, the you know, the leadership that he brought off the field, or the leadership that we don't see. The last time we saw him in a leadership role, it didn't work out well. That was this summer, twice. It didn't work out well. So if he's giving the leadership, the sacks do need to come up. I don't need him to be a double-digit sack guy, but the sacks do need to come up as well as the pressures.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's time to ask D-Mace. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. It can be about Jeffrey Simmons. It can be about the NFL draft. It can be about Hallmark movies. It can be about pretty much anything. I do screen them because there are only so many things that we can say on the air. But Derek is open-minded. So call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace coming up next. Willie Dunick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
D-Mace, Finn Nadonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's time to ask D-Mace. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Anything and everything you can ask Derek Mason. Let's start with Todd on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Todd, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a question.
Go for it.
Why don't we trade for Hendon Hooker?
Okay.
What are you giving up?
Yeah.
Todd, what are you giving up for Hendon Hooker?
Well, I'll give up Will Levis for sure.
something. Thank you for the call, Todd. Something tells me.
This is the Lions on line 2 clip.
Oh, man. No, I
did you say you want to trade us a pair of Levi's? No, Will Levis. Oh, I would rather have the Levi's, actually.
What size are they?
Are they 501s?
I sure enough take those. Getting him to – nah, I don't think – wasn't this – didn't Joe bring this up months ago about
– Rex Road. Yeah, Rex Road.
Hendon Hooker.
I believe it was Landry. He was manifesting a Harold Landry trade, yes, to the Lions.
Yeah.
And he included Hendon Hooker coming back the other way.
Yeah. I'm sorry to throw you in there, Rex, but yeah, that was the last.
That's why they call him GB Joe. Among other things. He gets called a lot of things. That's just one of them.
I can't see trading for Hendon Hooker. I'm not saying Hendon Hooker will not be a good quarterback in this league, but I'm not. They're about to draft a quarterback number one overall. I'm not going to, you know, because Detroit's not going to trade him either. So I'm not going to even waste my time giving up picks to get Hendon Hooker.
A couple of texters want to chime in on our Jeffrey Simmons conversation. Mm-hmm. Wes in Hermitage says, no way on the Simmons trade. I don't trust this group. Just answer me this. When was the last time that the Titans traded for a big acquisition or traded away a big acquisition and didn't get completely fleeced during the trade?
So we should never trade again, basically, is what you're saying. Never do another trade because none of the trades have ever worked. So don't trade.
I'm just not in favor of a Jeffrey Simmons trade. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, don't make a trade at all. But, again, this goes back to what we were talking about, I think, at last week. And it may be a little bit further back about the whole Cam Ward. And the question that I asked, do y'all trust Cam? Is it that y'all don't trust Cam Ward? Or y'all don't trust the organization? Well, it comes back up because the texter said, no, don't trade him because I don't trust the organization. So I think a lot of what I'm getting or some of what I'm getting is when talking about certain players, I don't think it's the actual player. I think it's they don't believe that the Titans will either do right by the player or develop the player.
Okay, here's an incredibly interesting hypothetical on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Let us assume a fully grown, completely healthy Clydesdale horse has his hooves shackled to the ground with his head held in place with thick rope. He is conscious and standing upright, but he is completely immobile. And let us assume that for some reason every political prisoner on earth will be released from captivity if you can kick this horse to death in less than 20 minutes. You are allowed to wear steel-toed boots. Would you attempt to do this? What kind of sick question is this?
What were they trying to get at?
What?
What were you getting at, sir, ma'am?
Strange.
For one, I'm not a horse guy. I don't know.
Sometimes
much
we have
about
dad
a horse.
Jokes. This is a different category.
Yeah, that one kind of came out of right field, left field, center field, wherever field you want. It just came and didn't have much to do with what we were.
Well, we did say everything and anything.
Yeah, I guess so. But that wasn't a question.
It was a hypothetical. Would you kick the horse to death?
If it meant what?
What was it again?
Every political prisoner or something?
Yes, every political prisoner on earth would be freed from captivity.
Well, listen, I don't know much about the political prisoners, so I'm just not going to go kicking a horse to death for no reason. Like, and I don't know what y'all were in jail for. I know it's political, but what? What happened? What's going on here? You know?
Strange.
I don't know.
Hey, we did say everything and anything.
Yeah.
One texter says, hey, D-Mace, after all you've seen from Levis, does he have any potential to succeed in the NFL?
Yes, he does. And I've been on record as saying, I don't think that Will Levis has proven that he is a starting quarterback in this league, but there's nothing telling me that he can't play in this league. You know, I've seen guys that play worse than him, and they have jobs or they've had jobs, not necessarily as starters, but hell, some as starters, but majority of them are backups. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Will Levis, you know, isn't capable or doesn't have the tools to be an NFL quarterback. He does, but it's just, you know, some guys are meant to be starters and some guys are meant to be backups. And I think at this point in his career, he's shown that, you know, at best he is a backup right now.
Skyler wants to know, would you rather lose your right thumb or both of your big toes? Sick world we're living in. Sick.
You're sick. You're sick, Skyler. You're sick. I don't even want to answer that question. I want my big toes, man.
D-Mace.
Yeah, it is Ax D-Mace. I'm right-handed, too. Man, you know what? Yeah, I'd rather have my two big toes. Let's just put it that way.
I feel like you could survive with eight toes, though, can't you?
You could survive with
one thumb. Like you'd be able to walk, right?
But he's no, you still be limping around here. You won't be able to move fast. What if you got to run away? You ain't got no big toe. Ain't much balance.
One texter responding to our caller from earlier. Derek, when will Tennessee fans stop being so delusional to think that their team is good and quarterbacks like Hendon Hooker will be good in the NFL?
Listen, I'm not going to call Tennessee fans delusional. They love their team. I'm just, as I said yesterday, and it was, you know, written too. Listen, there are GMs in organizations that don't think highly of that offensive system. Why? Because it's hard to figure out what type of player that, you know, said guy is, whether it's a quarterback or running back or receiver. It's hard to get a determination on what kind of player, you know, Hendon Hooker is or Jalen Hyatt was last year. That was one of the reasons why I wouldn't have drafted Jalen Hyatt in the second round. He may turn out to be a good player, but it's going to be work in progress. Why? Because they didn't teach him how to be a receiver. They taught him how to run to an open space and catch the football. He's damn fast, but in that system, it's hard to evaluate because it's so far out of what teams do in the NFL at the NFL level. It's just hard to sit there and say, well, this guy is going to be this type of quarterback, or he's going to be this type of running back, or this type of receiver, because there's not going to be that much space in the NFL. These guys are working basically, I'm seeing the defense before I even hike the ball, which, you know, in the NFL, it's not that way. You gotta basically, as a defense, when you're playing Tennessee, you got to declare what you're doing. Why? Because they spread you out so wide. So for a quarterback, if I can throw the football, I can read it easy because you're so spread out. Receivers, you got so much room to operate. It's pathetic. Nobody touches you. Nobody pressures you. Running backs, you got these holes are so wide open. Do I get a clear picture of what you're going to look like as the holes get tighter? I don't, because of the system you're in.
615-737-1025. We will continue Ask D-Mace coming up next. 615-737-1025. It's time for the 4th annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Let me tell all of you that you should not miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on the Game Nashville Sports Network. We will be broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Madison on Thursday and Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar in East Nashville on Friday. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock each day, presented by Hardee's, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Twin Peaks, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, Shane Co., and Professional Home Improvements. By the way, Derek Mason will be on the Thursday panel with Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Trevor Maddich. The Friday panel includes Chase McCabe, Joe Rexrode, and Chris Sanders. So you can catch Derek, among others, at Twin Peaks in Madison on Thursday starting at 6 o'clock for the award-winning draft. Well, it's the award-winning pregame show. As far as I'm concerned, it's the award-winning NFL draft show as well, because Jared deserves an Emmy, or whatever the radio version of an Emmy is, for his acting on those days.
Yeah, well, he may have another day like that. I'm not sure. Well, no, he won't.
Well, there's my question for – I have a question for Ask D-Mace.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate a Jared Stillman meltdown of some kind on day one?
Unless they trade out of the pick, I don't think there will be a meltdown unless he fabricates one, because we all know they're drafting Cam Ward, or at least we assume that they're drafting Cam Ward. So if they indeed draft Cam Ward, what would be the outrage? I thought he got all the outrage out already.
I think, what was it last year?
He's been wanting them to trade.
Yes. Yeah.
right? So that exactly. I don't think he would melt down if they traded the pick. I think
if
he
the
would
Titans
enjoy.
If the Titans drafted Shedeur Sanders with the number one overall pick,
he'd probably run home.
I'll be ready to screenshot it so fast.
If I recall, after the Titans drafted J.C. Latham last year, Jarrett said something to the effect of, "I can't wait for Rand Carthon to be fired, and I'm going to be the grand marshal of the parade." something along those lines. I'm not far off.
Oh man!
So
I forgot what he said, but you know, he has his theatrics.
He does
when it comes to the draft, at least the first round.
That's saying it lightly.
Yes,
he absolutely does. One texter says, to continue, ask D-Mace, Cam Ward has been streaming Fortnite and saying, "Tighten up," and talking about how Brian Callahan and Treylon Burks are both great. Do you think he should be more quiet going into the draft?
No.
We did talk about this the other day.
I mean, no. I mean, whatever he's hearing from his camp, from the Titans, he's going to be the number one pick. And, you know, why not talk about some of the guys? He's not talking about them in a bad way. He's mentioning it, the organization and the players in a good light. He's trying to be a starting franchise quarterback before he even steps in the building. And if he can get on Fortnite and pump his players up and pump the organization up, then, hey, let him do it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Wesson Herbertich wants to know, waffles or pancakes?
Ooh, I'm a waffle guy. The right kind of Belgian waffles. Belgian waffles. I like fluffy pancakes, just like light fluffy pancakes. If they're heavy, I don't want those things. But either a Belgian waffle, crispy, it has to be crispy, or fluffy pancakes. I love them. But I'm taking a Belgian waffle.
Very particular. Yeah. Very particular. Josh on our text line says, Jared will have a meltdown if they draft a guard with the first overall pick. I don't anticipate that happening, but that would be something. That absolutely would be something. All right, let's go to Matthew in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
Admittedly, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in the next segment, but we'll get out in front of it now. If Aaron Rodgers was holding the Titans hostage like he is with my Steelers, how would you feel? Embarrassed? Angry? Would you feel anger towards ownership and the head coach for not doing much in free agency, specifically at quarterback, because they're banking on Rodgers not retiring and choosing you over Minnesota and San Francisco?
Yeah, I would feel a certain way. But the Titans, thankfully, they're not in that position because, listen, and we will talk about it more, but it seems like this story is a little, I don't know. Side, a little iffy in a sense. But this is what you get when you sort of play in the Aaron Rodgers playground. This is what you're going to get. Somebody that may give you his football, may not give you his football. He's sitting over there on the sideline throwing the only football that we have to play with. He's throwing it up in the air saying, maybe I want to play, maybe I don't. All the while, you got 15 neighborhood kids that want to play football. But because he has the only football, we got to wait on him. So, no, I'm glad. I would be angry if I was still a fan right now.
Joey from Bellevue on our text line says, Derek, if the guys at the station were on Family Feud 4 versus 4, who would you have on your team and why?
Ooh, man.
I love this.
4 on 4? Okay.
You're the fifth guy. You're the head guy. You're the first guy that everybody.
And then I need four more.
Teammates, introduce your team.
Okay. I'm like, hey, here's my good friend, Willie Donick.
All right.
Went to Vanderbilt University. he's from New York by way of, or Orlando by way of New York. Is that right, Willie?
Who knows where the hell Willie Donick is from? He's all over the place.
And then Adam.
Yeah.
He's from upstate.
No, I'm not.
Virginia.
Yes, I am.
Virginia.
I'm actually from downstate Virginia.
Downstate Virginia. He's from Virginia. We got David.
Woo!
He's from Nashville, right?
Memphis.
He's from Memphis.
So you would basically have our show.
Yeah, just have our show.
And who would be our opponents?
Oh, man. It would have to be.
But don't we get a fifth guy?
Yeah, we get a fifth guy.
Is the captain. You get four other guys.
Okay,
right?
so he said four. The question said
there's
four versus four, but let's include one more.
Five,
and
it's four in addition to D-Maze because it's a five-on-five show, right? That's how Family Feud is.
Exactly. And I'm going with – it would be hard. It would be either.
The guy down at the end. Who's the person down at the end? You can get a guy or a girl.
It would be my man Nick.
Frazier?
Frazier, yes. Because Nick – he knows – it's just like Nick Frazier knows just like everything.
That's a
it would
smart
be either
pick.
Nick or Joe.
I think
it would be either be Nick
pick.
Or Joe.
Which Joe?
Rex.
You have to specify with, on this station. We have two Joes.
But then again, Big Joe, he's kind of like a bigger version.
Big
older
Joe,
version,
Big Joe Nick. Would give the response that makes Steve Harvey stare blankly into the camera for 30 seconds.
Yeah, so we may not want Big Joe.
It would clearly be a bad guess, and Steve Harvey would just stand there.
But I think he would do it on purpose. We would be going against Chase, Jarrett, who else?
Robbie.
Rex. Ian. We had Nick.
We took Retro.
Yeah. Gosh. We'd still win, but it'd be close.
But who would do the Fast Money segment? Who would you trust to do the Fast Money?
Two people other than myself.
No, it's one person. It's two people from each team.
So myself.
You take your top two, right?
That's right.
To do the timed one.
Man.
Shows you how much I watch Family Feud.
Gotta think fast. I would choke in that. I just said, take me off the board, D-Mace. It's not my strength.
Gosh.
I'm not a good thinker.
It'd be have to be either you or Nick Frazier.
I could do it.
Adam. There we go. It'd be Adam.
All right.
Myself and Adam.
Now, who's in the one hole? Who's in the one hole? Who's in the two hole? Right, because the first guy gets to go. There's no chance he gets the earlier answer. The second person has to think of a second
now,
answer.
Now, if I may answer that question, I would go first because I think Frazier, he's a bit more creative. I think I think that he would be able to navigate the. You've already said that answer. You need to think of something else.
So you go first, and then I go second.
Or you. I was thinking me and Frazier.
Oh, you and Frazier. If you two got, you would have to go Frazier first and then Frazier go second. Yeah.
I would feel more comfortable with more options at my disposal. But I think this is something that we should do. We should do this. You've been asked about putting together a basketball team, a station basketball game, station Family Feud.
Hey, listen, one of the callers, Chuck, he said, oh, my God, Jarrett is pissed now that you didn't pick him, D-Mace.
That will be fodder for the draft show next week.
Oh, man.
Okay. I can only imagine what Chris Sanders thinks.
Yeah. What about Chris Sanders?
Chris Sanders is going to be heartbroken.
No.
Heartbroken that you didn't pick him. Heartbroken.
No, I wouldn't. When he picked
Ohio State.
When he picked Ohio State against Michigan. Or he picked Michigan.
No,
he
lost me. Yeah, absolutely. When he did that, no, I'm not picking. No. The minute he did that, he's excommunicated from all games we're going to play.
But you know what his answer is going to be? He goes, I didn't know we were going to have a Family Feud show, though. I never would have done it.
No. So there you go. No Chris Sanders.
615-737-1025. All right. We alluded to it, but we got to talk about someone who, God, just – sucks up so much damn oxygen. I'm sick of it. We have to talk about this coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.